The following episode originally aired in 1991.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland, and my guest today on Piano Jazz is B.G. Adair. She's a musician of exceptional versatility and imagination, and she's into all styles of music, and that makes her a very welcome guest for Piano Jazz. It's great to have you come all the way from Nashville.
Well, thank you. I was looking for an excuse to come to New York, one of my favorite cities, but I'm delighted to be here. I'm just delighted, and I bring good wishes and goodwill from all of the piano players in Music City, USA.
Oh, that's great. I really love to be in that part of the country, and I hardly ever get there.
Well, that part of the country loves having you there, too.
Are you originally from Nashville?
I'm from about 90 miles north of Nashville, a small town in Kentucky named Cave City, which is near Mammoth Cave National Park.
Cave City?
Mm-hmm. It's a tiny little hamlet of 2,000 or so people. It's near Bowling Green, which is where I went to college, Western Kentucky University.
Is that where you started getting into music, or did you start as
That's where I started getting into jazz. I had been playing by ear a lot, and I had studied piano, of course, all through the years back in that part of the world, and also in that time frame. I think every kid in the world took piano lessons at some point in grade school. And I started very early with a teacher when I was about 5 and played I played for my dad's Rotary Club, and I played in church, and I played for school plays, and that
it's great,
kind
though,
of thing
isn't
you
it?
Do.
It kind of gets you into all, it gets you over that stage fright thing.
Yeah, I just never thought about not being able to play the piano. It was just sort of something you did, like driving a car.
It's funny,
or
me too, BG. I did the same thing, and I started playing little tunes for the kids in kindergarten, and, learning. Of course, I learned all the hymns and Christmas carols, but, when you play by ear, you can really amass an enormous repertoire
sure.
of all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, before we go any further, I'd love to hear you play something.
All right.
So what did you pick out for the first one?
I picked out for this, for the opening segment, a favorite tune of mine called I Hear a Rhapsody.
Oh, I love that tune.
And I'm going to put it on an album. Or I guess it'll be on an album at some point in my life. But it's just one of those tunes that I just gravitate toward the minor tunes.
Me too.
You know, we talked about that. And it's just a nice melody, which I love.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, that's the perfect tempo for that tune. It was so nice and relaxed.
I like that that kind of tempo. I have a large component, I think, of the the showbiz standard kind of. I gravitate toward melodies and relaxed tempos, and something that feels good and feels pretty appeals to me.
It's funny because sometimes if I'm playing a solo piano thing, if I don't really think, I can sort of think, oh, yeah, this is what I'll do, and I start right in without really setting the tempo. Have you ever done that?
Oh, I do it all the time. I can be my own worst enemy, I think, in terms of my playing, because when you barge in without thinking ahead, then you've already done something wrong technically to your playing. Mike Longo and I were talking about that last night, as a matter of fact, and he has this little thing that he does it's a little trick that seemed to help me. I was playing last night around with this, and he said, you must always state, when you start your solo, you must always state a very short idea and then corroborate it rather than just barging ahead. Just do maybe two or three little notes and then corroborate them in the next phrase. And then from then on, you'll enlarge upon that. And, he's right.
Well, does he mean state the melody necessarily, or?
Well, no, just maybe an idea, like on the tune we just did. I just did just something like. That's the corroboration, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he said, once you do that, it gives you a chance to take time with the beginning of your solo, so that then you can go from small steps, the baby steps, to the big steps.
Boy, isn't that great.
Which is kind of a mental exercise, but it really works, I think. It really does.
Boy.
I was thinking on the way over here about why we play certain ways, and I think a lot of the dashing about that I do has to do with the fact that I was an only kid, I was an only child, and I was not in any kind of musical group, so a lot of times I had to play the whole thing myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I heard a song on the radio that I liked, then when I went to the piano, I tried to put in the trumpet part and the piano part and the singer and the bass part and everything together. So I'm used to doing a lot of extraneous stuff in my playing. Sometimes it's a matter of cutting it out and hanging back a bit.
And yet, probably all that has helped you because you're doing so many things. I mean, you're into so many different aspects of music there in Nashville, aren't you? You don't only play jazz. What else do you?
Oh yeah.
What else do you do?
Well, the joke is that we all have to earn a living in the recording industry some other way to support our jazz habit, because of course you can't really, at least in that part of the world, you can't. Of course, it's hard to make a living playing jazz, period, but especially in that part of the world where there's so many different kinds of music. And we don't have, we do have the audience down there, but we don't have the clubs and the venues to play the music. So most of the people that I work with all either work in the symphony or work in studio situations, making records or doing jingles or television. There's a good bit of television. They do a lot of television specials, kind of like craft music halls.
Do you do all these?
I do a little of all of it.
Yeah, that's what sounds nice about what you do. You do so many different kinds of things. Makes you really a well-rounded musician.
Well, sometimes we all feel like we have to change skins, like the little lizard to be. Okay, today I'm doing country music, and tomorrow I'm doing a Broadway show or whatever.
Well, now today you can do any kind of music you want, and you mentioned some piece that a friend of yours had written that you thought you might do, because I would love to hear it.
Yes. Alf Bartels and Brian Lindsay are two guys that I knew in graduate school more years ago than any of us care to mention. And they wrote some lovely tunes. I do about three or four of their tunes. This one is sort of unheard of, and it's a favorite of mine, so I thought you might like to hear it.
I'd love to hear it. What's it
called?
It's called
Come Ride the Wind.
Nice title.
Yes.
Song.
Isn't that a lovely melody? It seems like an old 40s movie theme to me.
I can just see
the violins and the crashing waves on the shore.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Betty Davis lighting somebody's cigarette.
or Joan Crawford hurling herself into the sea.
No, but it's very sort of romantic, almost passionate kind of music.
It is, and the words are sort of ethereal and talk about riding the wind and chasing the stars and standing on the seashore and all. It's a very sensual kind of song.
Well, you've got a very romantic and kind of sensitive touch. I mean, you really can control the piano. You know, some people can't get those nuances. You must have worked at that.
I think it's always real important to me to what my friend Charlene Harb calls letting the melody sing.
Yeah.
Let the melody sing as if a singer were singing it. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with working by myself for so many years and working with singers and working with the kind of music that has lyrics, and I always like to try to get the story through through the song somehow.
But you've worked with your friend you just mentioned, Charlene?
Charlene Harb.
Charlene, you've done a lot of two pianos.
We have, and we have talked about the idea of doing something, you know, sticking it all on tape sometime, and we both sort of go, ooh, gosh, that's exciting, and it's scary at the same time. We have said that it's kind of like those the trapeze artists that catch each other, and you have to know when to let go of the rope. And sometimes, musically, you both let go at the same time, and then it's either chaos or sometimes something funny or nice will happen. But it's a learning process, and a lot. I notice for myself, I have to learn to hold back and not play so much, or maybe just play more sparsely when I'm with another person.
Well, let's see.
So it's a learning process.
This should be great. We should be great playing together.
I think so. I think so.
So we haven't even talked about this tune. Maybe we should just go ahead and do it. What is this thing called, Love?
Sounds great to me. It's a favorite of mine.
Well, this is a good one called
Fortitude. This one feels good.
Why don't you just start it out, and we'll be like the two trapeze artists.
There you go.
And we'll
see if we can catch each other in the right places.
Okay. It's nice. You keep such a nice, sort of comfortable tempo going. It just feels like...
Okay, well, it's very comfortable to play with you. And I keep hearing the other piano players on this series say that, and now I know in person what that feels like. It always feels so wonderful to listen to these radio shows, but now that I'm here and actually playing with you, it is very comfortable.
Actually, we've got our, our final big deal coming up, Cherokee.
That's right.
Which I haven't...
Well, I must say I haven't either. I sat down and played it last night in several different keys because...
You did?
Well, we were talking about that on the phone, and Michael Longo always says, he makes his students play Giant Steps and Cherokee in all the different keys at some point.
What a great thing to do.
And I said, well, that's torturous, but let's try it. So I played it in several different keys, and I was astounded to find that I didn't go completely haywire in some of the places, but I did in others, of course.
Mustn't think about this too much. We should just...
we'll lose our nerve if we think about it too much.
Start playing it, I think.
I think so, too.
Our brand new version of Cherokee.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.